when we were thinking about planting in this area and coming to Bradenton, Sarasota, one of the things we noticed back in 2011, when I was sitting in a cubicle kind of praying about coming here, was that this is one of the arts capitals of the Southeast. Some of you might not know that, but not only because the Ringling influence of here, but this area per capita has more places to watch live shows, more museums, more live music than many cities in the Southeast. And so that's why it's considered one of the most artistic cities in this in the Southeast. However, what I recognize with all the artists is that anytime you go to an artist, a place where they work, if you go into their studio, you'll see that there is a beautiful thing on the canvas, or there might be great music that's being made. However, there's always on the floor, there's a mess. It's when you go into where somebody is putting together art and it's not completed yet, it's a mixture of beauty and a mess. But when we go into a museum and we're able to see an artist's work, the museum is usually pristine. It's usually perfect. There's no mess. And we're able to walk and see masterpiece after masterpiece after masterpiece. We had this experience when we went to the Salvador Dali Museum as a family, and we're able to see it. Whatever you want to say about the guy, he was a genius when it came to art. And you're able to see that in his works there was all this beauty, but off to the side of them, and as you listen to the story of each piece of artwork, you realize that some of the pieces of art took him 2 to 3 years to make. So though we're able to be in a very clean museum and see this beautiful piece of art, we also realize that about a year or 2 years or even 3 years into creating that, there was a time in which in his studio there was a mess. And the truth is, when we think about that, that's more like life. We don't engage with each other as perfected masterpieces hanging in a museum. We engage with each other as we're still in the studio, as we're still being made into whatever it is that God's doing in us. And there's beautiful things about us. There's strengths in all of our lives. But there's also weaknesses, and many times there's messes, and many times there's really dark consequences. What we're going to see today is the life of King David. And we're going to see in David's life that David was a beautiful mess, that there were strengths of his life that were stronger than really many people that have ever lived. But there were also grave weaknesses that caused him and other people pain and loss and trouble. And I think as we look at David's life, we're going to see some of ourselves. The scary thing is when we look at David's life, you're going to see you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But the beauty of it is that we don't land on David today. Our ultimate goal isn't to have a history lesson on King David. At the end of the message, we're going to spend the last 5 to 10 minutes looking at the perfection of Jesus in the mess of David. That David, all the mistakes that David made, Jesus, the perfect King of Kings, that Jesus isn't a beautiful mess. Jesus is a beautiful Savior. And so we look at Jesus, we're going to see the weaknesses of David and the sufficiency of Christ. And my prayer is when we walk away from here today, we'd recognize that we're a lot like David. And we also recognize we need Jesus more than ever. Would you bow your heads and pray with me as we jump into the text? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be together. Thank you that you are the artist, that you are creating masterpieces. But in the midst of it, there's messes in our lives. Jesus, thank you that we're not perfect, but you are. And thank you that we can rely on your perfection. That's our faith. And God, I pray that we would walk away from here today more encouraged that you're working in our life, more encouraged that we don't have to be defined by our mistakes, and more encouraged that we serve a beautiful Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's look at the good news. Let's look at the beautiful things. Like if we were looking at the artwork of David's life, let's look at the beautiful things. The first one is David was faithful. And you say, well, how do I know that? Well, multiple times in Scripture, we see David doing very small tasks when nobody else is looking and keeps doing them even when he becomes somebody important. In 1 Samuel 16:11, it says there's this time where the prophet is coming to anoint the next king. We talked last week about King Saul and the mistakes that King Saul had made. And because he had made those mistakes, God was going to anoint a new king. Not one that would take over immediately, but that God's favor and his spirit would be on. Well, the prophet goes to the house of Jesse, who is this man who has these sons, and he comes to find the next king of Israel. And when he gets there, there's some sons that are there, and they're strong, and they're big, and they're handsome. And the prophet doesn't feel a peace. And he says, Jesse, are these all your sons? And Jesse says, well, oh, there's one younger one. His name is David, and he is taking care of the sheep. And I love what the prophet says. He goes, we will not sit down until you go get him. In other words, I don't feel a peace about these guys. I want to meet David. And we find out that as David comes in, immediately the Spirit of God falls on the prophet. The prophet knows this is God's man. This is who I'm supposed to look to. I'm not to look to the outward appearance, but I'm to look at the heart. And this is the right guy. The guy who's taking care of business while other people are parading themselves. That is the faithful one. That's David. We also see in 1 Samuel 16:19 that after David had been selected and anointed as the new king, he still wasn't king yet. Saul was still king. And Saul was being tormented by an evil spirit. Because of Saul's disobedience, God had just kind of handed him over to darkness. And Saul's life was a mess. And he couldn't sleep at night. And he had bad dreams. And he just was unsettled. And the only thing that would settle him, check this out, is David. David would come from taking care of his father's sheep to run back to the king, to play a harp and a lyre and sing to him. And whenever he did that, Saul's spirit was relieved. It was the only time that Saul felt relief the rest of his life is when David was around and David was playing his harp. See, David was faithful. He would go back and forth. Could you imagine being that important that the king of your nation needs you to rest, yet then leaving after the king sleeps to go back to take care of sheep? David was faithful. Probably no greater story of his faithfulness of what we see in 1 Samuel 17, verse 14 and 18. We'll have this scripture pop on the screen. David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine, that's Goliath, came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of the parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousands. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. Okay, so I was just in Montreal this week, and when I travel many times, I'll just get room service up to the room because I'm usually in the city by myself and I don't like to sit at a restaurant by myself or at a bar by myself. I don't like that. So a lot of times I'll get them to bring it up to me, right? And so that way I can stay in my room and it's safe there and I know it's not crazy and, you know, there ain't gonna be some crazy women up there or crazy men up in there trying to like see what I'm all about. So I just sit in my room. Well, every time you do that, you have somebody that brings your food to you. Now, It's a good job. I mean, you got to take care. You got to be a delivery guy, right? You guys know, maybe some of you guys delivered pizzas, or maybe you still deliver food on the side to make some extra cash. There's nothing wrong with that. However, it's not a noble job. You don't expect your pizza delivery guy to also be the king, right? You wouldn't order from Papa John's and some senator or governor or president of the United States show up and give you your food. That would be really strange because that's kind of an average, normal man's job. Now check this out. David has already been anointed as the next king. He knows that he is going to be king one day. He doesn't know when. He just knows that God is going to have him be the ruler of God's people. Yet his father says to him, David, in the middle of when all the guys are battling, I need you to go bring some bread and cheese to your brothers. I don't know about you. That's pretty embarrassing. Like imagine walking onto a battlefield and assuming that they're going to be fighting and being men and you're just the delivery boy to bring food to all the real warriors. You see, David, knowing that he was going to be the next king, he was faithful in the small tasks. And he gets there and he's taking care of doing exactly, check this out, exactly what his father tells him to do, even if it's not a noble task. You see, David was faithful. That's who he was. He would run to the battle, not to fight, but to deliver food. Maybe some of you in your life are in a place where you've gotten kind of too big for your britches. There's certain things that you used to do that you don't do anymore because that's beneath you. But you see, David was faithful in very small, menial tasks, even when he was somebody important. That's who David was. As we look at the beautiful masterpiece of David's life, we should see that he's faithful. The second thing I want you to see is David is bold. David had a boldness that most men have never had. Actually, David's life many times is like a running script for an action hero movie. The things David says, people can't even come up with better versions of that in today's. My son just went to go see the movie Rampage. You know, I think The Rock, first of all, I love him. He's awesome. I'm kind of built like he is, you know, so I kind of feel good about that. No, I'm kidding. But he obviously, but he played football at Miami, so I love him, and, you know, he's great. But, you know, The Rock, he's like in every movie now. I don't know how. It's like every single movie. It's like a romantic comedy, The Rock, you know, and then like an action movie, The Rock. Well, The Rock is in every action movie. And The Rock has said some really cool lines. You remember back in the day, our Rock, when we were younger, was Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? He was in everything, and he had his little lines that he would say. David's whole life is a running, like, one-liner of just being a beast. Listen to some of the boldness that he had. 1 Samuel 17:26. And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now imagine this. He walks up, he's delivering the bread and the cheese, and he's doing what he's supposed to do, and all of a sudden he comes across this giant, Goliath, who's standing between the armies of the Philistines and the armies of God's people, and this is what he's saying. He's calling out God. He's saying God is nothing, that God is like a dog, and that all of Israel is shameful, and nobody has any pride or any strength. He's mocking God's people. Well, when David shows up, he doesn't deliver bread and cheese to warriors. He delivers bread and cheese to a bunch of scaredy cats. And he realizes, what's going on? Like, why isn't anyone fighting? Where's King Saul? He's in the tent hiding. And there's this massive guy who's calling out Israel. And he's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who taunts the armies of the living God? Like, he doesn't see the huge giant. He sees an annoyance. David is bold, bolder than other people. In 1 Samuel 17:32 through 37, David decides that he's going to fight Goliath. And so he makes it up, makes his mind up. I'm going to go fight this guy. So he goes and he sees King Saul, and King Saul says, "What are you doing?" And David's like, "I'm going to go fight him." David's like, "You can't do that. You can't fight him. He has been fighting longer than you've been alive. He's been a warrior longer than you've been alive." In other words, from today till the first day he killed someone, that's longer than you've even been alive, David. You can't fight him. And this is what David says. David says, "Saul, what you don't know about me is that when I've been taking care of my father's sheep, there have been many times when bear or lion have come to steal one of the sheep. And I would chase the bear and the lion down. I would grab them by their beard, and I would strike them in the mouth, and I would kill them to defend the sheep." David said, "I've killed both bear and lion with my hands. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to me?" Like, I don't know about you. I wish I would have said that. Like, that's so cool, right? If I were David and I had killed bear and lion, you best believe y'all would know it, right? I would wear the lion skin everywhere I go, right? I'd be like, "Hello, welcome," you know? I would have a necklace of the bear's teeth or the bear's claws. That's what I would do. Why? Because, I mean, who does that? David did these things when nobody else was looking. And when he states this to Saul, he says, "I will be victorious today because I've been victorious in the past." David was bold. Who chases a sheep, a lowly sheep, to put their life on the line? David did. David's bold. But no greater moment of his boldness. This will be on the screen. 1 Samuel 17, verse 44 through 47. The Philistine said to David, so David's already come out now, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field." Imagine that. Imagine David decides he's going to fight. He doesn't take Saul's armor. He doesn't take Saul's sword. It's all too big for him. He just goes out with some stones and a slingshot, and he walks out against this massive giant that everybody's scared of, who's like the beast of all beasts, a fighter, scars. He's just scary. And he says, "Come to me and let me feed your flesh to the birds." And this is David's response. This is bold. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." This is David. He's bold. And not only does he say it, he's not only a good smack talker, he does it. And when he slays Goliath, he lifts his head up for everyone to see. And David goes continuously living as the famous victor of this battle. You see, David is beautiful. He's faithful. He's bold. But David's more than that. He's also artistic. Look at 1 Samuel 16:23. And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. I shared a little bit of that earlier. Now, in our culture today, anything that's artistic many times is connected to the feminine side of things. It's a woman thing to be artistic. It's very rare in our culture, and it's getting there, but where we can actually have men who are also artistic. David was artistic as well. He played music. He played a harp. I mean, that's not really manly, but he did it, right? Imagine the same hands that cut off Goliath's head are the same hands that played a harp. David was artistic. And I would just say as a side note, at Good Life Church, one of our core values is creativity. And what we mean by that is when we share life, we want to do it in a creative way. This is my creative way of sharing the good news. God's gifted me to do this. He hasn't gifted everybody to do this, but he's gifted me to do this. This is what I do. For you, it might be something different. You might be an artist. You might be a sculptor. You might be a dancer. You might have some type of creative element, a spoken word, a song that you sing, whatever it is that God has gifted you in. And this is what I'd say to you. Are you using your artistic gifts for God's glory? That doesn't mean you have to use it in a service. Maybe you don't ever use it in a service at Good Life, but you can use it to serve the people of this local church and this local community. See, David was beautiful because he was artistic. We live in a world today where we celebrate certain things and we expect certain things. And there is a group of men in this world today that are scared to rise up in the area of the arts because it's